living wisely in a foolish world. How to get out and how to stay out of debt. We're going to talk about everybody's favorite subject this morning. Money. What was it said of the Rockefellers? They asked him, how much is enough? And he said, just one more dollar. Okay, just one more dollar. Those that seek after money will never be satisfied. Notice the scripture. Poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction. Whoever heeds reproof is honored. That's really easy this morning. We'll say poverty and disgrace are going to come to you, but you can go right ahead and go to sleep and not listen to a word I say this morning, okay? How many of you want poverty and disgrace? Go to sleep then, okay? And it'll come to you. One of the biggest problems in America is personal debt. The average household owes more than $7,149 on credit cards. Now watch closely. That's from nerdwallet.com. And these are current as of July 2013. If you've never seen that website, you ought to go take a look at it. It's got some interesting information on it. Average credit card debt, $15,325. Average mortgage debt, $147,924. Average student loan debt, $32,041. Based on an analysis of the Federal Reserve statistic and other government data, the average household, notice again I've got that underlined, owes $7,149 on their cards. Looking only at indebted households, the average outstanding balance rises to $15,325. So if you were to average all the households in America, the debt is $7,000 apiece. But in reality, when you start looking at the households that actually have that debt, okay, then they owe $15,325 on credit cards. Regardless of income, the American family lives from payday to payday or from paycheck to paycheck. Most American families spend more than they earn, 125% on the average. Think about that, folks. We're talking about people here in America. Why? P.T. Barnum once said, money is in some respects like fire. It is a very excellent servant, but a terrible master. Many people's finances are like a fire out of control. Putting out this financial fire requires knowing how we get into debt and how we get out of debt. First, we're going to look at how we get into debt. There are two primary reasons we get into debt, and I call them debt demons. Number one debt demon is credit cards. I know I use a credit card. I use a debit card. Okay, and I'll go into the gas station and I go to one that sells the cheapest gas. And so therefore they don't even have the machines out where I can plug my card into the machine. I have to go inside and give it to them. Okay, that's all right. I save 2-3 cents a gallon. But he always asks me, credit or debt? I say, I don't want to pay for it twice. Okay, I don't want to pay for it twice. Debit my card. From pastoring more than 35 years, I've seen this financial demon break up more families and cause more pain than drugs or alcohol. Okay? Probably if you would reflect into your own marriage this morning, or even into your own lives, one of the greatest difficulties you find is being at peace with the idea of money, what you buy, and how to pay the bills. Jesus said, if we intend to build a tower, we should first do what? For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Jesus was talking about building a building. But actually, he's talking about building a life. Let's count the cost of credit cards. Now, I'm going to put you in that category with the households that actually owe this money this morning. Suppose you owe $15,325 on all your credit cards. You make a monthly payment of $310, which is more than required by most at a minimum payment at 9% APR interest. Even if you stop using the credit card, it will take you 62 months or 5+ years to pay off $15,325, and you'll pay a total of $530. Now, what's so bad about that? What's so terrible about that? Well, number one, you're going to pay $4,200 in interest alone. Number two, those items that you bought on, what's that next word in the green? Sale, okay? Those items that you bought on sale with your credit card end up costing you 25% more and probably need to be replaced by the time you get them paid for. Now we can see why the average American family gets... Actually, I think our household gets more, okay? Because Randy and Risa probably average one a day, okay? They've decided I'm not going to get any more credit cards, so they don't send them to me. They still send them to Rhonda, okay? And they send them to all my kids to my house as well, okay? So we probably average more than eight a week. Why did I put ATE up there? Huh? Because those credit cards will literally eat you up, okay? They'll eat up your ability to be what God would have you to be. A hidden cost of credit cards is impulse buying. Studies have shown we spend 30% more when using a credit card as opposed to cash. Buying with cash requires discipline in following financial principles. Proverbs 13:18, again, what does it say? Poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is honored. Credit cards are a debt demon because we keep spending even when we are out of. Believe it or not, I spent a number of years in the military, and as a battery commander, I had this one guy come in on fraud charges, okay? And he came in and he stood before me and I said, "What's your problem?" He said, "Well, sir, I don't understand how come they tell me that I don't have any money in my account. Look at all these checks I still have in my book." People aren't that stupid, okay? I'm sorry for that word, but, you know, they really are. They really are. Most people that get those credit cards in the mail, they think they can go out and use that credit card. They sign their name on the bottom of the account, and they think of nothing more about it, and then they go out and utilize it. Well, guess what? Somebody keeps track even if they don't. Debt demon number two. Nobody's guilty of this one, right? Automobiles or cars, trucks, buses. Too many people believe the myth, you are what you drive. Most people buy an automobile based on want, not need. And it may have to do with the color or the interior design or, you know, what other gadgets it has on it. Okay? But that's why they buy it. The average new automobile loses about 20% in value the moment you drive it off the lot. This means if a car costs $30,000, it depreciates $6,000 when you sign on the dotted line. Okay? That's you're just handing that dealer, as it were, $6,000 in this case. Moreover, it'll appreciate an additional 10 during the next 12 months for a total of 30% during the first year you own it. Who owns who? So you can lose $9,000 or more on the first year you own a new automobile that cost initially $30,000. Pride causes people to want to drive a really nice new automobile. However, we need to remember the truth found in Proverbs 29:23. Pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. I can remember in the military service, this one young man bought a new car and it sat out in the parking lot. And I said, "Well, why don't you drive it?" He goes, "I get it by the gasoline." Okay? He had the nice new car and he could look at it, but he couldn't afford to drive it because he couldn't put gasoline in it. One car salesman told me it was not uncommon for people to come in with a very good two-year-old car on which they owe $10,000 or $12,000 more than it's worth. However, they still want to buy a new car as long as the monthly payments are close to the same amount, no matter how long they have to make payments. Because of pride, such buyers have obviously not sat down and counted the cost. And we've talked about how to get into debt because of two debt demons. What were they? Credit cards and cars. Very simple. Now let's talk about how we can get out of debt or stay out of debt. Number one, get rid of all credit cards. To get out of debt, you must first stop. What's that next word? What does it mean to charge? To advance forward in a rapid manner, okay? To advance forward. Going, literally, you're going backwards, okay, in relation to your finances. Perform plastic surgery by cutting each card into 12 pieces, one for each painful monthly payment. If you must have one credit card for emergency reasons, put it in a metal can, fill the can with water, and place it in the freezer. Why a metal can? So you can't thaw it out quickly in your microwave. Having to wait for the thaw will help prevent impulse buying. Say, well, I got to go home and get my credit card. And you come back 2 days later because they hadn't thawed out yet, okay? After credit card withdrawal, which takes literally about 6 months, you'll wonder how you could have ever been so foolish to use the cards in the first place. Anytime you think you're using a credit card, you can't pay off each month, you need to remember the financial principle found in the book of Proverbs 21:20. Precious treasure and oil are in the whose dwelling? Wise man's dwelling. Why is he a wise man? Because he sits down and he does what? He plans ahead. But a foolish man devours it. I spent 3 years at a Bible college in Denver, Colorado, and the president up there, his name was Dr. Augsburger. And he used to tell us every time we met for chapel, he said, don't sacrifice your future on the altar of the immediate. Don't you think about that? That's a statement that's worthy of memorization. When you get ready to do something, think about, what am I sacrificing in this? Okay? How many young people have sacrificed their future for making a dumb mistake somewhere back along the line? How many adults make a dumb mistake somewhere along the line? They sacrifice what they might have in the future on the altar of the immediate because they think what? I have to have it, and I have to have it now. You know, I see a lot of young, matter of fact, I have four marrieds in my family, okay? And they think that they, well, it wasn't really difficult for them because they all had better jobs than I had along the way. But they go out and they buy a house just like dad's, or they have cars just like dad's, or they have more furniture than I have. But many young couples don't have the wherewithal to do that, and they go out and do it on credit, thinking that they've got to keep up not with the Joneses, but with their own families. And you know what? You look at your family, maybe they've been together like Larry, you know, 50 years. Larry, how long have you been in that same house? 28 and a half years. Can you imagine how much possessions he's gathered in that house? Okay, I know from just living 2 or 3 years in a house, and you get ready and you're going to move to someplace else, and where do you go? Where did all this stuff come from? Have you noticed that one of the biggest markets in Albuquerque today is building these places where people can store their junk? Okay, how many of you have ever seen a U-Haul trailer behind a hearse? Guess what? They're not going to take it with them. Okay? Precious treasure and oil are in the wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it. If we are fools to spend all we have, what are we if we spend more than we have? What did I say? The average American family is doing what? They're spending how much more than their income? 125%. We're really super foolish. Once you stop charging, start with the smallest credit card bill, pay off the balance, and then apply that amount to the next smallest credit card debt. Each time you pay off a credit card, you have a great sense of victory that will motivate you to keep paying them off. Don't try to pay a little extra on each card. That will never help. Pick one and pay it off as soon as possible. Cut up the card, cancel the account, and then use that payment to pay off another one. Why do I say cancel the account? Because if you have some credit cards today, they'll charge you whether you use it or not, just for having the card. Okay? So guess what? You say, well, I haven't used that card in years. And they say, yeah, well, we have. We've been adding this to the amounts you owe. Okay? Very diligent about what you're doing. Plan your spending. This means you know where your money is going, and you have a plan to make it go as far as possible. Such a plan is traditionally called a budget. Okay? Had budget classes in the military to teach the young men how to handle their money. But I have a better name, get out of debt plan. If you have a computer, you can use Quicken or Microsoft Money or anything else to help make that more effective if you're not good with paper and pencil. I believe that one of these programs could be a great help or a planning tool. You should plan your spending because of the facts found in Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. What is that hasty person doing? They're charging. They're sacrificing their future on the altar of the immediate. They think, I have to have it, and I have to have it now. Previously, we talked about laziness. Remember that? How many remember the message on laziness? I mean, I can dig it out and preach it again real quick. I mean, if you've forgotten, okay? Most people are head over heels in debt because they're too lazy to diligently plan their spending. Never borrow money for depreciating items. Have you heard the saying, if the shoe fits, charge it? Depreciating items are clothes, TV, furniture, anything that decreases in value. Rhonda and I and the girls went to see the butler the other night, okay? And so the butler's wife's asking me, how many pairs of shoes does she have, okay? All through the movie, I think she asked this two or three times. And it was really interesting. Finally told her 120 pairs or something like that. You know, that was talking about the president's wife, okay? I believe that it is okay to borrow money for a car as long as you don't finance it for over 3 years. And be doubly careful about buying a new one. If you finance an automobile for more than 3 years, you're probably buying a car you can't afford. And they will let you stretch them out. I know 72 months. Is it further than that already? Keep the car 2 or 3 years after it's paid for and continue putting the payments in the bank toward the purchase of your next vehicle. After using this system for 2 or 3 cars, you'll be able to pay cash for a car. And guess what? You get a whole lot better price on them when you throw the money up in their face. Okay? It's okay to borrow money for a home or a business because they usually appreciate. I say usually. Okay? If something appreciates and you have a financial reverse, you could probably sell it and pay off the debt. Nothing will improve until we put forth the effort and make the necessary changes. You can't do that with depreciating items. It's also okay to borrow money for an education if there is no other way, because it's an investment that will pay for the rest of, pay again for the rest of your life. However, before going into debt, you need to remember the facts found in Psalms 37:21. What is this saying? Who is the people who don't pay their debts according to the Word of God? The wicked. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. The wicked, okay? I'm going to brag for a moment. I had one check to bounce in all my life. We were living in Denver, Colorado. This is when we were first married. And I went down to the bank and finally got them to write me a letter of apology because it was an oversight on the part of their clerks. If you make a debt, you ought to pay that debt. Now, I love beans, so I don't have any problem eating beans. But if you have to eat beans for the rest of your life in order to pay off your debts, that's what you do. You know, can you imagine people who call themselves Christians and going out and making a debt? They say, well, maybe the rapture will take place and I don't have to pay them, right? That's not the proper attitude according to the Word of God. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. This means it is wickedness not to pay everything we owe. It is a serious matter for Christians to go into debt. Be content with what you have. I won't get onto you ladies about going shopping, right? I don't go shopping, I go buying, okay? If I'm going out to a store, I already know what I've decided that I need and how much I'm going to pay for it, and I go get it. But I don't go shopping. You know why? Because if I were to go into a tool store and walk up and down the aisle, wow, I need that, right? Yeah, and I need that one, and I need that one, and I need that one, okay? But you know, if you have tools, you have to do what? You have to work, okay? So. If you aren't content with what you have, you'll not be content with what you get. How many of you noticed the latest commercial that they're using against, I think AT&T's got it with their phones, okay? They got the picture of the people walking by and they're holding their phone, and a person goes by them and they're using a newer phone. And the individual looks at that phone. And so they're saying, to him, you know, you ought to change carriers because we don't make you stick with yours for 2 years. You can change it more often. Okay? Huh? How many of you ever bought a new car? And man, you loved that car and it was beautiful. And you started driving down the street and going, well, I think I like that one a little better. You ever done that? I promise you, I have. Okay? We all do those things. Be content with what you have. Ecclesiastes 5:10 reminds us of this fact. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also, what's that next word? What is the word vanity? Translate that for me into a proper English word. Vain. How about empty? Okay, empty is a good word to describe it. It's empty. It does not give you that which it claims to give. Of course, you should have goals and ambitions. You should try to better yourself financially. Contentment means you enjoy what you have now. God wants you to enjoy what you have. What did we sing a while ago? Count your what? Blessings. You know? How many of you right now could really sit down and take a pen and paper and just list them one after another and just thank God for them? Okay? But you know what we typically do? We whine about something we don't have instead of praising God for what we do have. Okay? Now, that's our old sinful human nature. Okay? But we don't have to do that because we have the Spirit of God living in us when we can glorify God for what we do have. But look, every man also to whom God, whoops, look at this, whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. Who's that talking to? Who in this room is excluded from that verse? No one. Okay? If you don't think that you are getting riches and wealth from Almighty God, you need to go to a third world country where people are living in boxes with their chickens, if they have any, and their animals, and they're relatively satisfied with their lives. Okay? And they're eating a bowl of rice 3 times a day. We Americans are rich beyond belief when it comes to looking at the people in most of the rest of the world. I remember leaving Vietnam in 1969. And this one little gal was speaking to me in Vietnamese. And she said, oh, you're going back to the land of the big BX. How many of you know what a BX is? It's called a base exchange, okay? Or the land of the big store, okay? The land of the big store. Why are people killing themselves trying to get across from Mexico because they want to come to the land of the big store. Okay? And you can't do that if you are over your head in debt. Give back to God. If you want God to bless your finances, you must be faithful in what God says about your finances. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine house or all thine increase. Now think about this. We call God our Father. He is our heavenly Father. You as fathers and mothers in dealing with your children, if your child is being disobedient to what you've asked them to do, do you go ahead and reward them for being disobedient? How many of you do that? You reward them for being disobedient. Do you think your heavenly Father is going to do that? I promise you the Word of God says that He won't. He says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. You cannot do that while having to pay the devil's tithe. What's the devil's tithe? Interest? on those what? On those credit cards and on that car loan. I mean, you also see the commercials now. It's your car loan. Switch it. Okay? Go to somebody who's got a better interest rate. Okay? Then what does the next verse tell us? Then your barns will be filled. No, wait a minute. Notice the then, okay? Honor the Lord with thy substance and with that. What is this first word here? First fruits. Who does that mean comes first? God. Now, he says, if you do this, then the next verse says, then, what's the then applying to? Putting God first, honoring Him first, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. How many of you would like to have your vats bursting with wine? Yeah? How much should we give back to God? Very simple. Jesus said, but woe to you, Pharisee, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Now, what is it they ought to have done? Tithe. Okay? You know what the word ought is? It's the Greek word for aphila. Okay? You know what it means? It's a moral obligation. Okay? What's a moral obligation? To stay faithful to your husband, to your wife. Okay? To love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Those are moral obligations. It's a moral obligation to do what? To tithe. I believe the Bible teaches we're to give back at least 10% to God. Malachi 3:8 says, will a man rob God? It's you robbing me, but you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and your contributions. Now notice, this is an Old Testament passage, and primarily he's talking to Jews, but the previous passage he was talking to anybody and everybody and us. These you ought to have done. If we're not doing that, what's that next word? Rob God. What is the difference between robbery and stealing? Stealing is taking something that belongs to someone else when they are not around. The dictionary defines robbery as the taking of personal property in the possession or immediate presence of another. Whoa. What are you doing? When you rob God, you're going, God, I know this belongs to you, but I'm going to take it anyway. Do you think he's going to bless you for that? Huh? I don't think so. When we don't tithe, we're not stealing from God. The Bible says we rob God because we take His money while He is looking at us. You may say, I'm so far in debt, I can't afford to tithe. But you can't afford not to if you want God's help in getting out of debt. Okay? God bless my finances, but I'm not going to give you any of it. This is because of the word Jesus recorded in Matthew 6:33. But seek ye, are the songs that we sang earlier starting to come back to play? You know, money and tithing and seeking. Seek when? What? First. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know what all those things were? Housing and clothes. Remember Jesus talking about the lilies of the field? How many of you can buy a dress that looks as nice as the lilies of the field? Now, we appreciate Phil and Dad were bringing in the flowers a while ago, but they finally made it to the other room because my nose does not deal with them, okay? But here, the Bible says when you trust God, when you seek Him first, when you walk in obedience, these things will be added unto you. Jesus also said, if then you have not been faithful in unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you to the true riches? Now, the idea of unrighteous wealth is just worldly money, okay, or mammon. Then he goes on to say, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. If you're not being obedient unto God, who are you being obedient unto, according to this passage of Scripture? Money. Or the devil, in other words. That means God has chosen money as a way to test your faithfulness to Him. Malachi 3:10-11. Bring you the full tithe into the storehouse. There's going to be food in my house and thereby. Remember our song again? Put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. Okay? Put me to the test. What's God saying? What's God saying? You tithe, okay? You be obedient to me and see what happens. He's saying, you tithe and I promise. Okay? How many of you like a promissory note from God? Okay? This is a promissory note from God. God says, if you'll do what He tells you to do, if you'll obey Him, then what does He say? If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there's no more need, I will rebuke or devour for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Remember a guy by the name of King Saul? Over in the Old Testament, the book of Samuel, okay? He was given a little challenge, a little military expedition to go on. God told him, through him. You know, he said, I want you to go and I want you to destroy the Amalekites, Agag, and all of them because of the way they've treated your people. Okay? And so he gets his army together and he goes and he destroys all the Amalekite army with the exception of the king. And also he keeps all of the livestock. Okay? And he's bringing this livestock back and Samuel comes to meet him. Okay? And Samuel said, hath Jehovah's great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of Jehovah? Behold, to obey is better. Lord, I promise you when I get out of debt, I'll start tithing. Lord, I promise you when I get out of debt, I'll make this sacrifice. I'll give more than 10%. Behold, to obey is... Oh, you're all getting quiet. Better to than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. Now notice this next verse. God equates that disobedience to the word rebellion. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry and teraphim. Because thou hast, what? Rejected the word of Jehovah, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Okay? And what happens then? Samuel turns to walk away, and what does Samuel do? And what is Samuel turns to walk away, and what does the king do? Reaches over and grabs hold of him and tears his garment. And he looks back at him and says, as you have torn my garment, so God has torn the kingdom from you and given it to your fellow, or a better person. Conclusion. More than anything else, how you handle your money reveals what you really think of God and His Word, the Bible. I've always thought about it this way. The Bible says if we have but faith as a mustard seed, okay, that we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, that we're saved for eternity. Okay? I mean, it's a finished proposition. It's a done deal. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised thee from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Romans 10, 17. Think about this. We say we've called upon Jesus and we're trusting Jesus for our eternal welfare in order to keep us out of the place called hell. Okay? But we can't trust Him enough on a daily basis to give the 10% in obedience to His Word. I have a problem with that, folks. What does the way you handle your money say about you? What's it say about your faith? What's it say about your trust in the Lord God Almighty? Getting out of debt requires you get rid of those credit cards. What do you do with them? You pay them off one by one and you cut them up. Okay? And then you call and you make sure that you cancel that credit card. Because if you don't, the bills are going to continue to come. You plan your spending. You never borrow money for depreciating items. What are depreciating items? Things that lose their value. Okay? That's most everything. Okay? You be content with what you have. Is this something we can just do easily and automatically? No. Paul says, I have learned to be content. Okay? I have learned to be content. What does this say you learn to be content with? Well, I learned to be content with shipwreck. Okay? I learned to be content with being in jail. Okay? Okay? I learned to be content in whatever state he found himself. And you obediently give back to God as he says in his word. Again, there's the verse I quoted. Okay? Because if you confess with your mouth, the word up here, confess, is homologeo. It's to say the same thing that God says about His Son. He says, my Son, virgin born, my God, my Son is very God. He is the God-man. He is totally God and totally man. And He came to earth to live as a man, to live a perfect life, to then die upon a cross and shed His blood for all who would believe upon Him. He says, and you believe that I raised it from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth confession is made, and the one is saved. This morning, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You say, well, certainly I have, Brother Rick. Does your finances show that you've trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior?